Once upon a tangent.
That has to have been the hardest setup I have ever done. I don't know what's wrong with the mics today. Don't
ground. It just happens. You know, we're 10 eps in. It's getting real and we're probably a little bit more particular about what we do.
Oh, I thought I was getting complacent, but look, I'm very happy. Hey, we crossed the milestone. We're over 10. This is number 11.
Double digit.
And the stories are only getting better, I think.
Oh, correct.
I think we're finding our way.
Yep. Well, and, that's a big lead up to my story. And are you travelling well on your
high stool,
tall barber's chair?
This is the only way I like to operate from now on. I have to be at height at all times.
Let's see if we can afford to keep that tall chair.
Welcome to Once Upon a Tangent. This may be your very first time listening, and we welcome you. It is a tale of two writers, you and I. We write ads for a living.
Yes, we try and sell stuff.
Yeah, try to. I think we do a good job.
Yeah.
Decided one day, let's flex our creative muscle and write children's stories.
Get the guns out, children's story style. Sounds legit.
And that's what we do. This week, it's Duncraig's turn to tell his story that he's been working on, toiling over all week, would you say?
Solid 48 minutes this morning when the wife gave me time out the front of the house. She goes,
"Get it.
I'll keep the kids away from this." But that's time, 48 minutes when you're a father.
Yeah.
That's a lot of time.
That's good. And you brought that here today for us to look. And
what's this?
This is a portfolio.
A compendium?
A compendium, no less.
Sorry.
So you're feeling pretty confident about this this story you've got today?
Well, the compendium is basically the father of the iPad. So, yeah, I'm confident as hell.
Well, what if I threw a little spanner in your works, Duncraig?
Well, we don't
have
spanners,
got a surprise.
So good luck with spanners.
Come in, mate. Come in. Have a look. Look out the window.
Well, what's who's this cat?
Welcome, welcome.
Hello. Pleasure to be here.
A third wheel.
Cecil.
I brought a third wheel. It's
Cecil. Well, we don't do third wheels. I did talk it up in the prelude. You've surprised me. Cess.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you doing?
Good, good. Good to be with you two blokes.
Thank you.
Wondering what he's doing here.
Yes, well, Cecil got in touch with me after listening to a couple of episodes.
Of course he did.
Said he's a mate of yours, Duncraig, and said, I'd love to be involved somehow to have a listen to him in real life.
Waited until we built a bit of a foundation and then goes, oh, wouldn't mind a piece of that.
Yep, that's how I do it. Come in late, reap the rewards.
Cool, now we've got to split zero three ways. How do we do that?
Yeah, that's right. Talk to my producer. Talk to my money man. But look, I'm looking forward. Cecil, it's really nice to meet you, man.
You too.
So you've heard... What's your favourite book of mine that...
I like the one about the bear, I believe, was the last one, Ted.
So you've listened to one episode
and it was
fresh.
The last one. Okay. Yeah.
Cool. So he knows Ted's stuff, and I bet you if I said, so your favourite from Duncraig, I'd just get the blankest look.
Yeah, yeah. No, you've got that little voice that puts me to sleep a little bit, which I do like.
Whoa. Excellent.
It's beginning already. Cool. I like him. I got two. This is the first time we've ever done two listeners to one reader.
Ooh.
I'm excited to how this is going to go. This could go horribly wrong, Cecil.
It could do.
But,
You don't know anything about Cess either. That's the beauty of...
No.
Well, I'm looking at two guys possibly ganging up on me.
Yep.
But going, well, you don't know Cess either, so
yeah,
he's a bit of a loose unit.
Let's just assume the worst and hopefully it's anything else is better.
Okay.
Ted and Cess, apparently, versus Duncraig.
We're going to be fine. We're going to be friendly. I'm going to be open-minded. I'll be good cop. He'll be bad cop.
Oh, listen to this guy. Here we go. There you go, Cess. He's already painted you as the bad cop.
Mate, I'm happy to wear that tag.
Okay.
Look at my pants. They're leather.
Well, as you know, with our episodes, brand new story, a children's story, can vary in ages. You guys definitely have not heard this. Well, you guys hadn't even met before this. I haven't read it to you guys at all. Once Upon a Tangent is about you guys tearing it apart. In a constructive way.
Constructive is the key word.
So it has to be constructive?
Well, there's no rules about it. You can do whatever you want. He says constructive. I say destructive.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean...
I must admit, that's rich coming from me saying constructive.
Yes.
Okay. Sorry, the name of the story? Yeah.
I can't wait for this.
Imaginality.
Oh, my God. Curveball.
Yeah, that is a curveball.
See that coming.
Can a kid say that?
Not
they don't have to. It's being read to them.
But if they say, Mum, can you read me that book? Or what is it? That one?
Makes an excellent point.
That one would be worse.
So we're friends already, are we?
High five over here.
Okay.
Okay, so imaginality.
Okay.
The people that can't talk, break it down into syllables. Once upon a time, there lived a young girl called Liesl. I knew Cecil would laugh. Cecil...
He didn't just laugh, he gave an eye rub. He's like, oh, classic.
Once he rocked up into the room, I looked at my story and went, okay, well, I have to get on with it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Liesl meant the world to her parents. They loved her so much. But recently, Liesl's parents were a little worried. You see, Liesl had an amazing sense of adventure, but an even better imagination. Liesl told fantastical stories every day, and sometimes even at night, instead of her parents telling her the stories.
Wowzers.
Role reversal.
Yeah, cool.
So what, the parents just sit there going, hey, Liesl, it's that time. Can you start now, please?
Yeah.
That's what happens?
Just take it up a notch, would you, for tonight?
It's a way of the future.
Yeah.
Her parents, though, were a little worried that Liesl imagined more than she told the truth. It got confusing.
Oh, are we talking about sort of, was that almost like mental, like, is that schizophrenia type stuff?
Yeah, I was going to ask that
question.
Well,
let's go right to a certain end of the spectrum.
So you are wanting to discuss a problem that might be happening with the youth of today, and is that schizophrenia?
He's going to the layers. He's diving in. I like Cecil. He gets it.
Yep.
I think I haven't put my cards down yet, but I'm kind of agreeing with him a little
bit. Wow, okay. It's not about that, but right. Thanks for your input,
Bad luck, Cecil. Next time, mate.
Next time, yeah, just line up the guesses.
Cecil's always looking for the worst, so let's hope this is on the way up.
When Liesl told her parents' stories, they often included people that they knew, or even the parents themselves. Then, this one night, it got even stranger.
Oh, boy. She's going to tell him a story about a missing body, and they're going to what have you seen?
What do you know?
We should go down to downtown to the station. You need to say this in front of a lawyer.
The assumption is that Liesl's parents would sell her out.
Well, exactly. Like, where did you get that lock on the chain? Why is it under your pillow? I've never seen that before.
The schizophrenic tendencies have worried us over the last few months.
Mate, it's not schizophrenia. We've already established that.
But, all right. Your story.
Worrying.
But...
Cess, a strong influence over Ted Brown already.
Yeah. Very gullible, yeah.
Don't be all googa gaga because there's a new guy in the room that I wasn't even aware of happening, and this already made me a little bit nervous.
No, you're doing good.
Leather punts and all. Liesl's parents had a very tiring day at work.
And the last thing they needed was Liesl to come in here with her night terrors.
And her schizophrenia and her locket that's had under the pillow with a chopped off bit of hair that might be on the bedside at night.
Yeah, and a tooth.
Oh, man.
DNA. Bag it up. Bag it up, Cecil.
This seriously needed to be a 38-second story at this rate because I reckon I'm in strife. Liesl's parents had a very tiring day at work. They were so worn out. Okay, so that night they all quickly ate dinner and they got Liesl ready for bed. Liesl wasn't very tired, though, and wanted to chat. No chatting, said her parents. But Liesl natted.
What's natted?
She natted on. She's like... Just
like, natted?
Yeah, it's like, I don't know, it's a poor man's chatter.
Is that K-N-A-T-T or just
N-A-T-T?
I was going to say G-N. Why would I even say G-N? I don't
G-natted. Even G-natted. Like a gnat.
Like natted. Like, yeah, like a gnat. I thought she was covered in gnats.
I don't do silent letters ever in my stories. You know that. Oh, there we go. Upon a tangent, it's one of my rules. I don't do silent letters.
Right, so she's chattered. That's good. No, I like it. It's good.
But Liesl natted on.
Mm.
Even when they shut the door, they could hear her nattering.
To herself.
That really sounds like schizophrenia to me.
I was going
to
say, Stephen King.
If these parents... Stephen King would have a field day with this because, I think the parents are in a bit of denial or they're avoiding some kind of real issues in there. I mean,
her name's Liesl.
Yeah.
My name is Liesl. Yeah. That's a frightening name.
Exactly.
What is putting my name in front of it make it even more frightening?
But she's the kind of person that would stare you through a window going, ring a ring a rosy, and not blinking.
Nattering on outside your window.
Oh, but I don't mind that tangent. Ring a ring a rosy, my name's Liesl.
Oh, yeah, frightening.
It's even more freaky when you're in your room going, what the
and
hell
it doesn't
is
even
that
rhyme.
In my window? And exactly. She can't even rhyme. If you're going to freak someone out, yeah, okay.
Is she an albino?
Why am I chiming in with your tangents?
Yeah, because you're feeling it.
Quite frankly, I don't like what's happening over
there. I'm just saying that if she's an albino as well, that would probably make it a little bit
scarier. That's probably helpful. In the picture book version, in the illustrator.
White hair, red eyes, just going ring, a ring, a rosy.
What's happening? Let me get to this bit.
Go on, Doug Craig. Go on.
So she's nattering.
Yes.
Liesl's parents couldn't bear it any longer. So they stormed back into Liesl's room and asked what it would take to get some peace and quiet in the house. Liesl simply said...
A sacrifice?
Just kill a chicken, please.
I'm sorry.
Wait, Mum.
Well, Ted Brown has grown another leg having Cecil in the room for the first time.
Cecil paints a very vivid picture.
It does, yeah.
And
why do they storm back into the room? Why don't they just come in there and go, knock on the door. Liesl, you're right. Why are they storming back in there?
They're tired parents. It'd be like this. They didn't knock. It's their house.
Why are you killing a chicken?
Oh, this is...
That's good. I'm going to cry in here. It's so good.
So they storm back into Liesl's room and ask what it would take to get some peace and quiet in the house. Nothing to do with chickens. Liesl simply said, "Let me tell you a story of mine."
Oh, God.
That's where it gets a bit haunting.
So she got her way. Yeah.
Her parents looked at each other, shrugged, and said, "Okay." Her parents rested on Liesl's bed and listened. Liesl told them her very own tale of an amazing adventure. It was actually a story about two people who lacked imagination. Not like you two freak shows that are
sociopaths?
Yeah.
Sociopaths.
Someone she took her vengeance out on when she found out they had no imagination.
Someone should explore Cecil's past by the sounds of it. Is it schizophrenia or is she a sociopath? Oh, okay, no worries. Psychology 101 in the corner.
Sorry, I just don't want to distract you from the story, but are they Angry Anderson leather pants? Or like from his standard line?
From Australia, Angry Anderson.
No, you've seen the bald head, so you put Angry Anderson and leather pants together. But
signature series.
Seth's hair challenged.
Yeah.
Trying to get him off with the sweat is impossible. And after listening to this story, I could see it's going to be a pretty tough night for Cecil trying to get these. Yep, you're right.
It was actually a story about two people who lacked imagination. These two people, though...
What are their names?
That's an excellent question. You can't give away names. It's not a really long story either, so
Seems to be taking a while.
Cool. Wow. Thanks for the info.
This
is a guy that's never written a story.
Even I didn't do that. I'm still your buddy, man. It's going well.
Oh, that's cool.
Shifting dynamics.
These two people, though, let themselves go... and for one big day, let their imagination decide everything. So do you understand what's happening?
We've got a schizophrenic who kills chickens and has a tooth sealed up in her back.
No, Liesl is telling her parents a story. They're on the bed, but the story is about two people that let their imagination guide. Okay, now we've got a hand up. Craig, you've never done that before.
Ted Brown from the Once Upon a Tangent Weekly.
The Tangentarians.
Question for you, sir. Remember how sometimes... Cecil, you may not have heard this episode, but sometimes I feel like I've got the ending.
Oh, you already know. Out.
This is my all in, and if I get it wrong, it's all over.
Ooh.
Oh, wow.
She's about to tell the story about her parents, and they don't even realize it's about them. Like carry on with your story, maybe.
Okay, so you're saying almost like the Notebook, like the mother's got Alzheimer's and doesn't know, so they're telling the story about. Is it a bit like that? Like
wowzers.
Way to uncool
both parents'
a story. Oh, is that like the Notebook?
Well, both parents.
You brought the word Alzheimer's in here. That's heavy.
Both parents have got Alzheimer's, so they don't know the story's about them. So they're reading it. I see where you're going with this. I like it, Doc Greg. So let me paint a picture.
Baton and run off.
Yes, rocked up with some.
They've stormed into the room because they're Alzheimer's and they don't know where they are.
Cheers for inviting this guy. He didn't warm me up to the friends that wouldn't add all that much, but now this guy's just
I'll be honest, I didn't vet him very well. I didn't.
Well, that's what you get. Yeah, that's what you get for reading an email going, yeah, you know what? It's episode 11. Let's branch out.
Guy called Cecil. Sounds legit.
He seems qualified. Let's go on.
Cess, no, not entirely correct. Actually, both of you weren't
But
that
Ted, was that
off.
Where you were heading, or am I on the wrong? Am I on another tangent?
Bit, you're on a different tangent to me, but
yeah.
So I'm keen to see where he's actually going to take.
So you've guessed that she's talking a story about the parents, and
they're
saying
they're
the parents have
in.
Dementia.
Well, it just ticked off a lot of boxes for me as why this would be a reasonable story. Yeah, go on.
Why it would be a reasonable story? So if it doesn't end with dementia, it's a rubbish story.
No.
Cool.
My mind was different, but that's all right.
Oh, you cut the tension with a knife in here.
Cut it with a knife at the child house. Liesl.
Under a pillow.
I'm going to refresh some of this for the listeners.
Respect for the story. Yeah. Okay.
So it was actually a story about two people who lacked imagination. These two people, though, let themselves go for one big day. They let their imagination decide everything for that day. They flew high into the clouds and up near the sun. When they came back down, they imagined the clouds were fairy floss, which is what in America...
Candy.
Because we've got a lot of San Fran listeners.
Cotton candy, that's
cotton
it.
Candy. Cotton candy.
Yep.
And I say that because apparently, we do have some listeners in San Fran, which is great.
We have at least three.
Yeah, I know.
That's all that I know of.
So when they came back down, they imagined the clouds were fairy floss, cotton candy, and ate them. So they ate the clouds on the way back down. They explored a magic cave.
He can't read his own writing. This happens every time.
He does.
No, because I handwrite old school. Yeah, I know. You do tell me not to handwrite.
Can you read that?
Yeah, admittedly.
Well, it's in crayon. So it's
When they came back down, they imagined the clouds were fairy floss and ate them. They explored a magic cave and got dusted with magic dust, which meant they were now magicians. You know what's a kid's story? Stop laughing, Seth.
Drugs.
You know what's a kid's story?
A drug reference at the
start. There is. We have really reached some depths, which I think it's nice because you've got to address the issue of mental health, drug issues.
Still with the mental health.
Well, and...
But you know what's a kid's story,
and the parents
remember?
Are old. Yeah, I know, but I'm just... Yeah, I think it's one of those things like it's a mask. It's a mask for everything. And I think you found something in yourself, done, Craig, this morning, which I'm...
Yeah, Captain Deep. Why can't it just be a kid's story?
Oh, yeah, probably right. As you were.
Well, I have a legitimate question, though. What is magic dust, if it's not drugs?
Back in the 70s, do you know what they used to call that?
It's magic dust. So when you read... Okay, so you guys don't have kids. So if you said to a kid magic dust, they'll just go, cool, magic dust.
Mm. Yeah. But we're not kids. So.
Yeah.
No, but it's a kid's story.
So we're from the streets.
You didn't get Imaginality as a title.
I know.
Kids would go, yeah, cool, man.
Imaginality.
Imagination crossed with reality. You guys still didn't get it. Yeah, there we go. Oh,
okay. And a little bit
16 and a half minutes in.
And a little bit of angel dust. magic dust. Magic dust.
Magic dust.
Excellent. What a day. To them, it felt so real, said Liesl. So remember, she's telling the story to her parents. To them, it felt so real.
It's actually good that magicians, because I've seen them before, and they're the ones that like they know how to get out of straitjackets, which seems,
<That's good.
laughs> which seems need, unnecessary.
They'll need that skill later on. I see where that's heading.
I'm Liesl.
That's all you've done is you've gone back to your character voice.
Hello, I'm Liesl. I have Liesl. Incredibly straight hair, and I'm freaky.
Red eyes. So, I'm in a straitjacket.
So Seth wouldn't be aware. Let's do it. You do your Liesl voice, and what's your other go-to?
If you really want a stomach ache.
Stomach grumble. Listen.
Oh, not too bad. But
you like that?
Yeah, but it was quite... that needs a doctor if that was real. Like that's actually...
That needs a doctor and also an adult diaper.
Yeah.
Because that does have some residue.
Which sounds like Liesl would need in 30 years.
Okay, so Liesl is telling the story. So to them, it felt so real, said Liesl. They never wanted to stop using their imagination. Or that adventure would end. So the parents who were listening to the two people. Don't stop, or that's the end of your...
So keep up the creative path no matter what age you are. Even if you get a little bit older, like, let's just say Dunkirk.
Yeah. Oh.
Early 20s. Don't give it up then. But it had to end because they were adults. They were told that they had to do all the boring stuff and stop imagining this amazing adventure.
It's daily grind.
So as Liesl finished her story, her parents woke up, slowly. But they didn't know they'd fallen asleep.
What's going on here?
When they woke up, did they have all their limbs intact?
What was happening? Was it a roofie? Did she give them a roofie?
That sounds...
Time for a story.
Yeah.
Drink this potion.
Keep imagining. Just go to sleep, parents. Go to sleep.
They didn't know they'd fallen asleep. They were no longer in Liesl's room.
Oh, boy. Oh. It's a bathtub of ice. I knew it was a bathtub of ice.
I just realised this is going to feed.
It sounds like sore. Yeah, I've rocked up there with a letter. I'm handcuffed to a pipe of a toilet.
I really want
to
know where they are.
This is dark.
They? Remember, this is a children's story, two units.
Would like to, but...
But you remember the adult is reading it. They'll be having these thoughts.
But to children, no, they're not having thoughts because they're not listening to you two freak shows doing this.
Well... Aren't they? Like,
no! I'm not going to play what you two are doing to my kids.
All right. You're the one with the kids here.
I'm loving this experience. It's a great story.
Ted and I haven't got kids, but you have, so...
Okay. So they didn't know they had fallen asleep. They were no longer in Liesl's room. Yeah. Even the second time round, this is now not sounding right with you two here.
Mm.
They were in a place that felt strange,
yet
familiar. They were in their house, but they felt so awake, not tired. Good, tick. They looked at each other, and as the dad grabbed what looked like cloud from Liesl's mum's hair, she flicked some glittery dust from his shoulder.
Wow.
That's family, man.
That's...
What is going on?
But you remember the actual story would sound legit because it's cloud and glitter.
So he flicked cloud from her shoulder or did she...
From her hair. So dad grabbed what looked like cloud from Liesl's mum's hair.
Yeah.
She flicked some glittery dust from his shoulder.
The magic dust.
Remember, they heard the story from Liesl. Now they're waking up going, what? It was tomorrow already. Yeah. Time, space.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
And as they checked in on Liesl, they noticed a grin on her face.
Oh. Yep.
As she slept soundly, imagining away.
With the blood of her hands.
That's
on
that's
her
not
hands.
The answer.
Yes, it is. Of course it is.
So Liesl in a straitjacket going, ring a ring a Rosie.
They my walk name in, is Liesl.
My Liesl's not. I'm lying in my bed. My parents haven't been here. They've been asleep for whatever, for let's just say forever. I'm covered in blood and I'm just lying there with a grin.
Grin on my face. See, all they can see is the grin, right? She's covered in her bed and they wake her up for school the next morning and pull the sheet back and go, how did she get a human head in there? Like, you know what I mean?
But what Once Upon a Tangent is about is a writer turns up with a children's story. What you guys have done, that was sicko,
man. I may admit at this point that I did get carried away with Cecil's great imagination, but I could see how he was making the dots connect, so I just went with it.
Well, I just think it made sense to everyone, didn't it? Or am I on my own on this one? Or
leather pants.
Ted, you're wearing this. Cecil, I don't know. I want to thank you for
mind,
your presence.
Do you mind that I brought in a friend?
I don't know. I thought it was a good story.
I actually think. What would you give it? Like, would you give it a rating, Cecil?
Oh, I mean, for creativity, maybe you went with the popcorn, not the popcorn, the fairy floss clouds.
Yep.
And the angel dust. The magic dust.
On the angel dust.
Magic dust.
Yeah, magic dust.
So, what sort of rating would you give it?
5.
Out of 5, 6 is good.
Out of 6, yeah. No, that's a ripper.
I take that. Out of 6 is good.
Yeah.
Most of the way we rate things on Once Upon a Tangent. Out of 6.
A random number. Yeah. Every week it's a different scale. Well, who cares?
Well, Ted Brown, you're inviting people along. Your thoughts?
Yeah, I give it also a 5 out of 6.
Well, I'll give the company 3.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Out of 11.50.
Yeah.
If you enjoyed that, jump on our Facebook page. Give us your thoughts on the story.
And genuinely rate it, please. Genuinely it helps us now that we've involved a third person that we pay $0, the kids still need to eat. So
we
rate
need those
it.
Ratings. Those ratings are going to help us a lot.
And if you don't want Cecil back, then that's fine. I'll pretty much do what Liesl did to the folks. I'll do that to you guys. So.
Our listeners are going to be mortified.
It's on your shoulders, listeners.
Yeah, it is.
Once Upon a Tangent, a part of the Ozcast Network.
Ring a ring.
My name is Liesl.